Genesis chapter 1. I'm going to be going in a certain direction this year, and I want to start today in Genesis. We're going to go through the book of Genesis. Genesis is the book that means the beginning. Genesis is the beginning. If you want to understand the world we live in, you have to keep within your mind the book of Genesis. Genesis records three beginnings. One, the beginning of the world. God made the world. Secondly, the beginning of sin, which has corrupted God's world. And then the beginning of the nation Israel, from which would come the Lord Jesus Christ to deal with the sin of the world. And so Genesis is sort of the foundation for the whole Bible. Look, if you will, in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Then turn over, you will, to verse 26, chapter 1. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Genesis 1 and 2 are very simple. They're very simple. Genesis 1 is the big picture. And God did this on the first day, and God did this on the second day. And it goes all the way through the first chapter as it gives an overview of what God did when he created the world. Genesis 2, he then zeroes in and looks closer at day 6 and gives us the details when he created the man and the woman. Now, some liberals think because they use two different names of God that it's two different authors and all that kind of silliness. And that simply is silly stuff. I've got commentaries in my library I don't even bother to fool with. Because God uses different names all through the scripture depending on what he is doing, what he is communicating himself. But that's the general arrangement. Chapter 1 is a description of the world that God made for us to live in. And chapter 2 are the details of him creating us to give us the capacity to live in the world that we now live in. I want you to notice verse 2 gives you a basic outline of chapter 1. He says, "And the earth was without form and void." Now you will hear some say there was a gap. That was a theory that was taught years ago when evolution first came out, that from Genesis verse 1 there was a big gap of thousands, maybe millions of years, and God created somebody else, and now he's starting over. Part of that was very learned men who wanted to be in tune with evolution. And so they wanted to be along with science, so they created this gap theory. I don't believe the scripture teaches that at all. The first man was Adam and the first woman was Eve, and that's the way God made it. These two words simply mean, "And the earth was without form and void." That means when God first made the heavens and the earth and he had the water all there, the earth was without shape. That is, it has not been shaped and formed the way God wanted it to be. And the word void simply means to be empty, to not have anything in it. And so God then took the world and then he filled it after he formed it. Day 1, 2, and 3 is when he forms it so that now it is no longer without form. It has a form. It has a shape to it. And day 4 and 6 is when he fills it with the things that then comprise the world that you and I live in. And God is very clear in how he communicates his truth. First, the earth was without form. It hadn't been shaped. Now, we don't have time to read all the verses, but God in day 1 simply made light. and separated it from the darkness. Now, we don't know what that source of light came from, because he created the sun, moon, and stars later. But the Bible says God simply created light, and then he separated it from the darkness. And day two, then God simply separated the waters which were above the earth, and then brought the waters down to the earth, and separated between above and below, creating the atmosphere and the world that we now live in. We're the only planet that can have human life, because that's the way God made it. He separated that which was above, bringing out the sky and all of that, and the waters below. Then on day three, he simply took the waters and he separated the waters from the land, so that the land appeared. And so now God has shaped the world. We now have light and darkness. We now have a sky and an atmosphere. We have water below. We also have a land that is separated from the waters. And on day one, two, and three, God took this without form and he formed it. He shaped it. He molded it. Then day four, five, and six, he filled it so that it would not be empty, so that it would not be void. What is the first thing he did on day four? He created the sun, moon, and stars, from which light would come, and which would be darkness as the earth rotated, and the sun and all those things. The sun, moon, and the stars also, the Bible says. And they're the ones that hold that light that God has made. In other words, he filled what he had formed on day one. On day two, on day five, he then created the birds in the air and the fish in the sea. In other words, he filled what he had just formed. He created the birds to fly, and he created the fish in the water. And then on day six, he filled that which was the land. He made the animals who live on the land, and then he made man and woman who we live on the land. He made humanity. In other words, Genesis 1, God gives you a summary of the world that he has made by bringing its form and then filling that with all the things that live within this world. I'd illustrate it, and my favorite illustration of this is when we brought each of our children home, we had a world for them to live in. We did not live in a tent. We did not live in the open sky. We lived in a house. When we first brought Bethany home, we made a nursery and sort of made a room for her, and that was her nursery. And we spent time getting it all ready and finding it a crib and giving it its nice form so that what? We could bring this person to come and live in this world. That's what we did with each one of the children. And though we had a house for them to live in, we had a world for them to live in, we bought cribs for them, later we bought beds, we bought all the things that were necessary so that they could come and live in the world. In other words, we shaped the world that we brought them into. That's what God did. When God first created the world, he made the world, he shaped it and filled it with things. And then in chapter 2, he made us so we could live in it. We are not evolving. We started out holy and good. Because notice what it then says in Genesis 1, verse 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. You see, Genesis 1, God shaped and filled the world that we would live in. Then God made us. And he gave us the capacity to live in the world that he made. That's what Genesis 2. It is the detailed description of how he made the man and the woman. Now, there may be some people you don't like, but I'm sure there's some folks you do like. You know, you and I never stop to be amazed at the human race. They're going to try to find life on Mars. They're not going to find any Martians, I'm sorry. They're going to try to find it all over the place. There's one planet that has life, and that's Earth, and that's what God made and put us on this Earth that we now live in. You may not marvel at the human race, but we are an amazing people. We are the human race that has been here for a while. We have developed civilizations. We are a people. I don't know if any of you ever saw the movie Planet of the Apes, where the apes took over. No such thing. There is a distinction between the animal and us. We were made in God's image, and God made us uniquely so we could live on this world. Well, I won't take you through every verse in chapter 2, but I want to just mention a few things that means made in the image of God. Notice, he made two kinds of people. A man and a woman. A male and a female. And they're both different. He made two kinds. There's not a third kind. There's not a fourth kind. There's not a fifth kind. Through all of the history of the world, there's always been just a man and a woman. There has never been a third species or a fourth species. God made us unique. And when he made the woman, one of the reasons he made the woman, who is also made in the image of God, he brought to the man, because the animals were not sufficient, he realized the man was alone, so he brought to the man a woman who was of equal counterpart to him. She was made in his image too. And so he brought the woman to him to be the opposite, but to be equal to the man, because the animals are too stupid. They're not made in God's image. And so he brought male and female. Now, I don't care where you go. I don't care if you go to the deepest, dark jungle in the middle of nowhere where no one's ever seen them. Guess what you're going to find? You're going to find a male and you're going to find a female, because that's the way God made the human race. Secondly, he gave us with ability. I've said this many times. Adam had the ability to work. He had the ability to tend the garden. And when you look around us and you look around humanity, I am always amazed at doctors who do surgery. I'm amazed at people who sent rockets into space. I'm amazed at all the technological advances that we have. It is amazing all the things that man has invented. Well, that's because we're made in God's image, and God endowed into the man and the woman an ability like himself to accomplish and to do and to build. You will discover later on through the book of Genesis that man has built civilizations. And it wasn't because we were in some cave somewhere stupid, and then we finally evolved to learn nothing. Listen, folks, they were smart back then, because God made Adam with intelligence. And he made Eve with intelligence. They could communicate with Satan. They could communicate with one another. They could communicate with God. How do you think we have the Bible? Because of language. Early on, the earliest form of language was cuneiform after the flood. And they have tremendous abilities. Think back to Egypt and all the pyramids they built. That wasn't done by stupid people. That was done by intelligent people who are made in God's image. We're smart. We can learn. We can grow. I don't know about you, but I used to be a baby. Just as dumb. I used to be a little kid. I look back to some of the things I thought as a little kid, and I think, boy, my. Well, I'm still not fully smart, but I'm smarter than I was, because I've grown, I've learned. I'm made in God's image. You're made in God's image. You have intelligence. God also made them to have choice. We are not animals who go by instinct. Animals do not sit there and think and go, you know, I think I will now go somewhere. No, they don't think like we do. They don't have the ability to make choice. They go by instinct. But you and I can choose. You can choose to come to church. You can choose not to come to church. You can choose to be nice. You can choose not to be nice. You can choose to do this career. You can choose not to do that career. You can choose to do this. You can choose to do that. You have freedom of choice. God put within mankind this choice muscle, this ability to live independent of God, because God is that way. He put us in His image. So we can choose. We're not just animals that just toss to and fro by our circumstances and our situation. I have the ability to think and choose. I chose to go to this school versus that school. I chose to marry this woman versus that one. I chose to live here versus somewhere else. I have the ability to choose. You do too. God made you unique so that you can make choices in life. He gave you with intelligence and gave you the ability to make choices. He also gave us emotions, and He brought to the man the woman. We have the capacity. He brought to the man the woman, now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. And what God's joined together, He brought them into the institution of marriage. Marriage was formed by God before sin came into the world. Marriage may not be God's thing today, and people may do all that they want to do, but God still defined marriage from the beginning, a commitment between a man and a woman, and the holy boundaries of marriage to meet one another's needs and to love one another and to care for one another. God intended something good. And you and I can have relationships. We can laugh. We can joke. We can carry on. We can talk about stuff. We're not a bunch of dumb robots. We're people made in the image of God. And every one of you people are different. Have you ever noticed y'all all look different? I mean, folks, all we got is a nose and a forehead and a mouth and a chin. And how do you make this many people? You know what I'm amazed at? An artist. An artist who can draw people and you look at them and go, man, that looks just like them. That is amazing to me how they can do that. Well, all of us are unique. All of us are different. I don't have to go and say, who are you? You look like everybody else. No, you look like you. I can call you by name. You can call me by name. That's the way God made us. We're humanity. We're humanity made in His image. And we also have the capacity to know God. My dog, I like my dog. She's getting old. Been taking her for a walk a little bit. I don't have to worry about running off because she's old now. And we waddle down the road. Two of us old folks going down the road. And she's a dog. But I've noticed my dog Bonnie has not been reading her Bible. I'm really disappointed in her. And my cat does not read the Bible. I try to put it in front of her, but Mittens will just not read the Bible. She's just too dumb. But you and I have that capacity. Now, we've never seen God. I'm not sure what God Himself looks like. But we have the capacity to know God through His written word, through the Holy Spirit who lives in us. We have the capacity as human beings, because God made us that way, so we could know God and love God and serve God, or we could choose, in which most of humanity has done, chose not to have anything to do with God. But God made us that way. Now listen, Genesis 1, God made the beautiful world that you and I live in. Boy, isn't it a beautiful world? Sunset, sunrise, mountains, beach, beautiful land out there, beautiful places that man has built. God made this beautiful world that you and I now live in. And I don't have to worry about whether there's going to be any oxygen tomorrow. I don't have to worry about if the sun's going to quit shining. I don't have to worry about all the silly things that scientists say today, because God made the world that I'm living in. And this is a beautiful world, and then God made us to live in it. To live in it. Now you and I think sometimes take this for granted. But you know, this is all we know. I've never been able to be anything else but me. This is all we know. And we take it for granted. We don't look up and say, God, thank you for the world that I get to live in. It's a good world. It's wonderful and enjoyment. My favorite time of year is the fall of year. Can't wait till next weekend to start watching college football. Now, I don't know if God invented college football, but he allowed football to be invented. And I get to enjoy it. I like it. Some of you others like football. I like to watch a good tennis match. There's so many good things in life to do. So many different things in life. And God made us with the capacity to live in this world that he made. Lastly, he put us in a body. He put us in a body. We are not a spirit floating around. The person that we are, when he made the man and the woman, he made him out of the dust of the earth, and then he breathed into him life. He then made the woman from the side of the man, and she had life. And we live in this body, the person that we are, and God made us to be this way so that we can live this life and enjoy this life and be a part of this life. When God made the world, never forget, God made it good. Because Genesis 1:31 says, and God saw all that he made, and it was very, very good. You say, preacher, why? Well, then you got to read Genesis 3. When Adam and Eve chose to sin against God, and we call that the fall of man. We've all come short of the glory of God. We all fall short. Genesis 3 records the fall of the human race and the introduction of sin into the world that we live in, and the introduction of sin into the human heart. That's what's made a wreck of the world that we live in. And what is very interesting in Genesis 3, which we're going to talk about tonight, Genesis 3 records exactly what happened when Adam and Eve sinned and what sin brought to the world that we live in. But Genesis 3 says that God already planned a Savior. And we recently preached that God's planned a new place, a new home, a new heaven, a new earth, in which he'll do away with all this sin and all this disease and all this problems. That's why we have the world we have in. But folks, I want to encourage you today. When's the last time you just said, Lord, thank you for being me? I don't mean in a prideful way, but God made you. God created you. God gave you with unique ability, unique thoughts. God's made you to live in this world that you live in. And you ought to enjoy it. In spite of sin, Jesus has conquered sin. The Holy Spirit lives in us to make a difference in us. But we are unique people. Now, sin makes people act in awful ways. But if you notice that man can do great things, have you ever noticed that it isn't always the Christians who do the operations? It isn't always the Christians who build the buildings? It isn't always the Christians who invent something? Matter of fact, a lot of things that are invented by people who've never seen the Lord, don't want the Lord, and don't know the Lord. Why? Because God endowed humanity with an ability like himself. They're lost and fallen from him, but they can create great things. I can remember years ago when we went to Disney World as a little carousel and as a little man in a computer image or man that they have that can speak, and you, the audience, moves, and he starts with before electricity and he goes through all the inventions. And then he gets down to the last world, which is Future World. And you know what they have in Future World? A computer in every home. An actual home computer in every home. And the last time I went, I chuckled. Because I told Deanne, guess what? Future World has come and way gone. Not only do we have a computer, but we got one in our hand. And I'm always amazed just driving along. We can do GPS and we've been traveling and take out that phone and go, yep, take this direction. Folks, we've got an amazing world. And guess what? That wasn't invented by all saved people. That was invented by people whom God endowed to have abilities to create and make things. Their problem is they're separated from God and they need Christ. I want to challenge you this morning as we come to celebrate the Lord's Supper. We celebrate that God has reached down to save us. But we also celebrate, folks, we are human beings. We're human beings. Some of y'all, I wonder about. I bet you wonder about me sometimes. But you know what? I can look out here and I just see so many folks out here who love the Lord, who serve the Lord, who bring a unique personality. You are a human being that God made to live in this beautiful world that we live in. And you ought to enjoy every bit of it and let God bless you.